We're exploring the state park system with help from the DNR on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer, Kent. Wisconsin is home to about 50 state parks, dozens of trails, breathtaking state forest land ready for summer adventures. We're getting travel tips, discovering hidden gems. What do you want to know about the state parks before you solidify your plans? What questions do you have about hiking and mountain biking in the parks? Maybe you're ready to dip your kayak in someplace new. It's 800-642-1234 to join in. Missy Van Landit, she's here. She's the Recreation Partnerships Section Chief at the Wisconsin State Park System. That's part of the DNR. Missy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So what is the status of our state parks? Are they all open? What can you tell us?
Yeah, they're actually finally all open. The last one to open was Rock Island just a few weeks ago. And so all of our properties are open and people are coming out in record numbers yet again this year. So we're all open and most of our facilities are open or will be open in the next few weeks. So it feels a little bit normal, which is great.
Yeah. So when you say open, this means like 7 days a week. What are the operating hours at the parks?
You know, generally the operating hours are 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. And obviously if you're camping, then that's when quiet hours kick in. We do have some day use properties that have shortened hours, but you can find all that information depending on which property you're going to on our webpage. But for the most part, you can visit 6 a.m. to 11 p.m.
What about visitor centers and nature centers? What are their status?
Right now, our visitor centers are open to drive-up service for the most part, but we are in the process of getting ready to open those, hopefully in the next few weeks. So everything else is pretty much open. Our shelters, enclosed shelters, restroom facilities, concession facilities are all fully open to the public for walk-in service. And then our visitor centers and nature centers will hopefully be open in the next couple of weeks.
We've heard about staffing struggles. We were just talking about staffing struggles recently. Does the state parks have enough people to operate at normal capacity, like at pre-pandemic levels?
You know, we do. And, you know, we do have a couple of areas around the state where we've seen some issues where we're trying to either do contracted services or increase our volunteer force. But for the most part, we've been able to do pretty well. And actually, we're staffing at levels for pandemic. So last year, we had about a 22% increase in visitation over previous years. This year, we're trending 30% or more, and in some cases on the weekends, more than 40% over previous years.
Wow.
So we're staffed and ready to go for people to come out and enjoy the outdoors.
Let's turn to camping now at the parks. What can you tell us about camping and those options with groups especially?
You know, all of our camping is open and there's no capacity restrictions. So most of our shelters and like outdoor group camps, things like that have lower capacities as it is, generally around 100 to 150. And so those have been open for the season. And all of our camping has been open, all of our family camp, hike and camp, water sites, that's all been open per normal since last summer. And so most of the weekend electrical sites are booked, but you can still find plenty of campsites of all those varieties during the week. And depending on where you're going, if you're willing to grab a non-electrical site, there still are quite a bit of non-electrical sites for the weekends as well.
Yeah, so what are reservations like? What do you see in terms of your reservation system?
We're seeing a lot of people are booking and they're booking in advance. And so, you know, the nice thing is people can book out 11 months. And so right now you can book out to May 14th for next year. So if you're interested to get your spring camping in for next year, you can actually book out 11 months. But, you know, the secret really is that people will book these sites and then something will come up, especially now where, you know, maybe there wasn't going to be a baseball tournament where there is, or maybe there wasn't going to be a concert and now there is. And so, you know, the secret really is to check on Thursdays and Fridays for last minute cancellations and scoop up those sites.
Okay, so really check in, keep checking in because those reservations can fluctuate and change is what I'm hearing.
Exactly. I actually did that for Memorial Weekend and got a great site at Wyalusing overlooking the river, and it was spectacular. And I just did that by looking at last minute cancellations.
We're getting an update on state parks with Missy Van Landit from the DNR. You can join in. What is your favorite state park in the summer months? Can you get a reservation? Which state parks have you already explored this season, and what did you see? Join in 800-642-1234. Missy, the CDC says that fully vaccinated people can go to small outdoor gatherings without a mask. Do you see visitors wearing masks out there at the parks?
You know, we have, it's a mixed bag right now. So we did see, especially last summer and earlier this spring, a lot of people would wear their masks or buffs when they were hiking, especially to pass people on the trails. I think we're still seeing that to some extent. And, you know, our kind of policy on it right now is that if you're vaccinated, we're not requiring a mask. But if you're not vaccinated to be in our facilities, we encourage you to wear a face covering. So we're kind of following the CDC guidance. We are still seeing people that are bringing those buffs and masks where areas that get crowded, like beaches or on trails. But for the most part, you know, things are looking a little bit more back to normal.
Let's turn to the DNR's Out We Go initiative. Can you explain this concept and what you're trying to get across to people?
Yeah, Out We Go is our branding initiative that we started a couple of years ago. It took a little bit of a hiatus last year with the pandemic, in some ways where we weren't really doing events. But Out We Go is to encourage people to promote their health and wellness through getting outdoors and active on state lands. And so even kind of without promoting that, that really is what the state park system was last year. You know, that's the place where you, when you couldn't go anywhere else, you could go to state parks and you and forests and trails, and you could be outdoors, you could be socially distanced, and you could just enjoy yourself, replenish that mental health, physical health. And so that is our Out We Go initiative. We've got a webpage on our DNR webpage, if you search it. It's OUTWIVO. And we've got all kinds of great tools and resources on there to get you outdoors and active on state lands.
Yeah, and it's, I was checking it out as well, and it kind of gives you some tips and tricks to be able to search for the things that you really love to do, whether it's being on trails or whether it's mountain biking. You can really get to the things that you love very quickly.
Exactly. And we're kind of always coming up with new printable maps or PDFs that you can take a picture of or a screenshot on your phone. So we've got our regional maps up right now. We're going to be getting up some of our maps that show what you can do within an hour of some of our urban areas. And the two that I'm most excited about that you'll see here right around the 4th of July is actually our hidden gems map. So you can find what is a hidden gem at every property that we manage, and then our accessibility map. So it's going to show all of our accessible components and where they're located across the state.
It's no surprise. You are like the queen of hidden gems. I love talking with you about hidden gems because we learn so much about our state. It's so great.
It's really fun to get out. And, you know, sometimes it feels like with so many people getting out that nothing is a hidden gem anymore. But I think it really can sometimes depend on what day of the week you go, what season you go, to find all those hidden gems.
How are our state parks doing on accessibility? Because the vistas can be beautiful and breathtaking, but to be able to get there, you have to be able to make those trails accessible.
We do. And, you know, we have a lot of accessible trails, fishing piers, cabins, and we're always looking to do more. And a lot of that, you know, comes from partnerships with friends groups and other user groups as well. So it's something that I, you know, I'm really proud of. I think we do a lot to provide opportunities, especially at properties where we have accessible cabins, because who wants to go somewhere and stay in a cabin if you can't do anything else?
Yeah.
So making sure that there are accessible trails, adaptive equipment, fishing piers, things like that at those properties. There's always room for improvement for sure. But, you know, we continue to keep accessibility in mind with every single new project that we do.
We're talking about outdoor offerings with DNR Section Chief Missy Van Landit of the Wisconsin State Park System helping us out. What have the state parks meant to you in the pandemic? Are you planning to go to a state park this summer? What trips are you planning? Are you going, you know, with different ages and abilities and different interests? Let's talk about state park highlights, amenities, with your questions in mind, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Missy Van Landit on the Ideas Network. The Wisconsin State Park System has nearly 156,000 acres of land available for us to enjoy and explore. We're getting summer tips on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The DNR revised pandemic rules this month. As we've been learning, enclosed shelters are open, playgrounds and observation towers, they're open. Indoor group camps are open as well. Have you been to a state park or forest recently? What was the scene like? Did you see some groups of people, or were you the only one on your favorite trail? Join in, 800-642-1234. We have the DNR's Missy Van Landit Recreation Partnerships Section Chief, and she's with us for the hour. Missy, you have a new trail conditions report, especially for those avid bikers and hikers. What does this report do?
You know, actually, it's Travel Wisconsin. They have it in conjunction with with a lot of different people. So it's actually a user-based report, which is really neat. So it relies on all of those folks out there that use the trails to provide condition reporting. And it includes trails, hiking, biking, ATV trails across the state on their webpage. And you can go on there and get current conditions on those type of trails, depending on where you want to go. And they're actually still looking for a lot of volunteers. So for those hikers, bikers, trail users out there, if you're interested in reporting on those trail conditions, you can check out the travelwisconsin.com page.
Oh, so they're really trying to crowdsource that information as well, because there's a lot of trails to keep track of if you want something that's really up to the minute.
Exactly. You know, we have thousands and thousands of miles of trail across the state. And the nice thing about this is not just public land trails for the state. This includes county and local municipal trails as well. So it really is inclusive of the entire trail system. So if you're looking to visit Douglas County, for example, you can check out all of the open public trails there and get the condition reports for those. I will share, though, that most when you're checking out the trail conditions, if it says fair condition, mm-hmm. that's a pretty good tickler for you to know that there's not a volunteer on that trail. So probably the only benefit of the lack of rain we've had is that trail conditions across the state are in great condition.
We heard from Ellen in Milwaukee, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Ellen wants to know, Missy, that if Ellen wants to go camping during the week, say on a Wednesday, would she find a campsite without a reservation?
Well, all of our campsites are 100% reservable, but you can reserve same day. And so you can check it out, reserve it for that afternoon, and then show up after 3 o'clock and have your campsite.
Okay, so very versatile there. Let's look a little bit closer at some of those great hidden gems and, you know, some parks that we all know of. There's Peninsula State Park first. What trails can people find in Peninsula State Park?
You know, they've got a ton of different trails that are all seasons. You know, for summer right now, I love the Eagle Bluff Trail. It really gives you great views of the escarpment from down below and views of the bay. Mm. And it actually connects up to a couple of other trails, and it connects directly up to Sunset Trail, which is right by the new Eagle Tower.
Oh, beautiful. That sounds awesome. Let's bring in Tom now in Burlington. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Well, the fun thing about going to the park or being at the park is going through the beautiful Wisconsin countryside. My friends went up to Hayward this weekend, and it's so beautiful to see the different rock formations and the nature, and you feel like you're going through part of the country. Our state was before they had the big ice, with the ice thing. So there's two different kinds of geography to look at. My friends went up to Hayward, and they caught a walleye, a beautiful walleye, and they brought it back with their kids. And I was up, there's a big park there called Shawamagon. I don't know if it's a federal park or a national park, but it's the hardest name to say, Shawamagon or something like that.
Shawamagon,
Shawamagon, I don't know how you say it. But anyway, I was up there, and there was a beautiful bald eagle up on top of this tree. And when we saw that, it was just fantastic to see it. And it seems like when you're in these parks, you get, it's almost like a religious experience. Mm. You kind of remember every little thing that you see and the smells and what you touch. And we're so blessed to have this beautiful tourist attraction called our park.
Yeah, Tom, thank you so much. And Missy, Tom, very much moved by his experience.
You know, it's wonderful to be able to be out, you know, and for those of us that have the opportunity to get all over the state, when you really look at all of those resources that are open to us, whether it's the Great Lakes or the river and resource areas, like Tom was referring to, the Driftless area, the Niagara Escarpment, we really do have an incredible variety of landscape and natural resources across our entire state.
Let's go another area in Door County, Pottawatomie State Park. What type of biking options does this park provide?
You know, at Pottawatomie, most of the biking is on the roads there.
Okay.
But as I actually just heard from someone this weekend, they would have done it no other way. So if you're camping at Pottawatomie and to get to some of the trailheads or to get to some of the concession facilities or the new accessible fishing pier, a bike is a must. So a lot of folks will take their bikes to Pottawatomie and just bike around the property on the roads. It's one of those that everyone's going slow enough, the roads are wide enough, and so it's a great way to actually explore the park without being in a car.
And what is terrain like for hikers there? And if you do want to set out on a hike?
You know, it varies. There is about 7 miles of hiking trail at Pottawatomie, and there's almost 3 miles of Ice Age trail, actually. The eastern terminus starts at Pottawatomie State Park. So you're going to get definitely some rolling hills there, not nearly as much elevation change as you'll find at Peninsula or other properties up in Door County. But what's really great is that you can get shoreline experience and you can get some of the, you can see the hemlocks and the arborvitae and the beech trees and things like that through the middle of the park as well.
We're traveling to Wisconsin State Parks, and we have Missy Van Landit with us from the state DNR. You can join in. What have the state parks meant to you in the pandemic? Are you planning to go to a state park this summer? What trip are you planning? What tips do you need? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Missy, before we depart Door County, what other state parks should we think about when going to be in that area in Door County?
Total in addition to, or three more in addition to Peninsula and Pottawatomie. For Whitefish Dunes, I love that because there's actually beach this year on Lake Michigan. So checking out the third beach access at Whitefish Dunes. At Newport, which is in the northern part of the county, Europe Bay Trail is fantastic. And it takes you not only by Lake Michigan, but also by Europe Bay Lake. And you can either do 3 miles or 7 miles and do kind of a figure eight on that trail. And then Rock Island, which is 2 ferry rides to the north, but exceptional views. It's a great place to view historic structures like the Boathouse, Pottawatomie Lighthouse. And if you're itching for a Caribbean experience at the beach, Rock Island is great.
I love the sell. I love the sell, Missy. That's great. What about camping options in these areas? What is camping like?
You know, it varies. There's actually no camping at Whitefish Dunes,
okay.
But at Newport, they're all hike-in sites, and Newport is actually a dark sky park, one of only 8 in the nation. So they're hike-in, but they do have carts where you can carry all your things. And Rock Island is not for the faint of heart. So bringing all of your things with you on 2 ferries and then hiking to your campsite. But I'll tell you, every time I've been there, I've definitely seen families with young kids packed up for an entire week going to camp at Rock Island. So you can get a variety of very rustic, more hardcore experiences, and you can go to family campsites or group campsites at Pottawatomie and Peninsula.
Well, let's bring in Ellen now in Birchwood with a question. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, I was just wondering if you needed to have a state park sticker on your car or if you could pay for daily admission, and I'm thinking specifically of Pattinson.
You can actually do both. So the in-state annual pass that goes on your car is $28 for the entire season, or you can get a day pass at every property. There's self-registration stations if the drive-up window is not open.
Okay. Ellen, does that work for you?
Yep, thanks.
Ellen, are you, while we have you on the line, are you planning to go somewhere in particular at the state parks?
Yeah, I was thinking of seeing Pattinson, and then I think there's another one up that way, too, with waterfalls that sounded interesting.
Missy, any tips for waterfalls?
Yep, Pattison and Amnicon have gorgeous waterfalls. You know, Pattison has the highest waterfall east of the Rockies, or the fourth highest east of the Rockies. And you can get that really grand waterfall experience there. And the trails are fantastic. They were just rebuilt after the 2018 Father's Day flood, and they're spectacular. So I highly recommend you checking out the trails at Pattison. And Amnicon is probably in my top five, primarily because you can get up close and personal with the waterfalls. And because the water levels are so low right now, you can actually swim in the waterfalls at Amnicon.
Wow. Wow. Missy Van Landit with us, Recreation Partnerships Section Chief at the DNR. Join in. Which trails, parks are you curious about? Do you prefer gravel, limestone, or asphalt? What's your favorite trail that rewards you with amazing views? Be part of this. 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're enjoying the state parks and trails on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Pack the sunscreen, fill those water bottles, and check each other for ticks. We're getting pro tips from the Recreation Partner Section Chief for the Wisconsin State Park System. Missy Van Landit is here. Are you trying to camp in a group this summer? What help do you need in planning your itinerary? What do you want to know about accessible cabins, concessions, firewood? Bring on those questions, 800-642-1234. The DNR's Missy Van Landit is with us for the hour. Rachel is joining us from New London with a question about water. Rachel, hi.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, yeah.
Sorry, my question for you. We had just recently camped in the Northern Highland American Legion at Big Lake, and the water there wasn't drinkable out of the pumps. And I couldn't find any information as to whether or not that was available, so ahead of time we could see water quality anywhere.
Rachel, thank you. Missy, water quality.
You know, all of our drinking water is tested. And so if it was closed for some reason, it probably had a test that didn't come back appropriate for it to be on. But we do have water available in every campground. That's a state code requirement. So there should have been water available. So I'll check into that for you. But we do have water available near all of our campgrounds. We have had mostly jug fillers open due to the pandemic. So we're just now in the next couple of weeks, you're going to actually open up the drinkable portion where you can fill a water bottle, still encouraging people to do that rather than drink directly. But up until even today, mostly it's just our jug fillers that are open.
Okay. Rachel, does that work? Does that make sense?
Yep, it sure does.
Thank you for the call. Elaney is here from Fort Atkinson. Hi, Elaney.
Good morning. I just wanted to compliment all those involved with building the new tower at Peninsula State Park. My grandson and I were up there Friday at sunset. Oh. That ramp is phenomenal. It's beautifully and structurally so sound and beautifully built. So kudos to everyone who was involved with that. It is just wonderful.
Oh, Elaney, thank you. Missy, at sunset, I would imagine just breathtaking.
You know, absolutely. I've actually been up it a couple times during construction. I haven't been up it since it's been open, but the comments are just flooding in with people who are loving it, and especially folks that maybe were afraid of heights or have a mobility device that they use that are now able to access something like that. You know, that is the only accessible tower made of wood like that in the entire country. So it's a really neat experience to be able to check it out and have those views of 360 views, really, of Door County and the Bay.
Well, we're going to stay on Peninsula State Park. Tank is joining us from Eastern Wisconsin. Tank, go ahead.
Thank you. While I think the tower is beautiful and the viewing from the top is spectacular and comfortable. But as someone who is economical with taxpayer funds, what consideration was given to simply using some type of an elevator directly up rather than, I don't know what that ramp costs. It's not an unpleasant experience, but wouldn't it have been more practical? And or what consideration or what negated creating some type of an elevator for disabled or handicapped access?
Thank you.
You know, that's a great question. And actually, we did look into that and weighed all the options. And the accessible canopy walk was actually the most economical option. The elevators, due to code requirements and the requirement for power at that site, would have actually cost a few million dollars more. So the ramp was the most economical option.
Let's go to Garrett now in Eau Claire with a question. Garrett, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Say, I was just wondering, is there any requirements for having a camper or travel trailer titled in order to get a state pass for the parks?
So you having having a title on your camper or vehicle?
Right. If I have a travel trailer without a title, can I still get a state pass?
Okay.
Yeah, actually, your state park pass goes on your drive vehicle. So if you're driving an RV, then that would have to be titled, I believe. But if your travel trailer, that really has nothing to do with your state park sticker, because that your state park sticker goes on your drive vehicle. So your truck or your SUV that would be pulling it.
Garrett, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
And where are you headed? What state park do you have in mind?
Well, we found a couple nice spots at Wasota State Park that we like because we like to stay local. But, you know, the goal is, and, you know, with everybody camping now with COVID and stuff, the goal is just to find any open spots to park a travel trailer.
Garrett, thank you. Wasota, staying local, Missy.
You know, a lot of folks are doing that. You know, that was obviously something we encouraged during the pandemic, was to travel within your community rather than traveling across the state. And so I think that that's become just kind of a nice little point of respite where you're kind of sick of the four walls if you were doing Zoom school or working from home, and just to get out and have a change of scenery. So a lot of folks are doing that, and especially grabbing those spots again where there's cancellations, pretty easy to do. And then you can just pack up quick and head out. So especially those folks with the campers or travel trailers, a lot of that is self-contained. So it's grabbing your clothes for the weekend and hitching up and heading out.
We're exploring state parks and trails with Missy Van Landit from the DNR. You can join in the conversation with your questions and your experiences out there at the state parks. Which bike trails are your favorite to ride this time of year? What have you noticed while visiting a state park? And what questions do you have for suggestions on the types of activities you enjoy? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Missy, let's hop on our bikes now and explore the scenic trail, the rail trails. Which ones are your all-time favorite?
You know, I've been on all of them, and you know, they all have little niches, I think, that I really love. You know, for me, I'm out of Middleton area, so I love to go to the Military Ridge State Trail that's kind of right around the corner from my house. So that's my local trail that I love. Elroy Sparta State Trail in the west central part of the state is fantastic as well. But you know, what I think is almost the hidden gem or the great piece about rail trails, there are 44 rail trails that span over 1,700 miles across the state. It's a great way for you to see all the wonderful natural resources that the state has to offer. And traveling through those driftless areas, farmland, urban cities, little small towns with great coffee shops and breweries. So it's just a great way to get a full experience of Wisconsin.
You mentioned the Elroy Sparta State Trail, which was, I think, one of the first rail-to-trail in the country. It also has rock tunnels, which I haven't been inside, but what does that feel like to go through a rock tunnel?
You know, I was scared at first. As someone, my friend's daughter actually used the word this weekend, skun, scary and fun. So, you know, there's a couple of them that are shorter and one that's long, and two of the three you can get access to right now, because actually a big portion of the trail was washed out in the flood a couple years ago. But I would highly recommend one if you don't want to bring your bike through the tunnel, that you bring a bike lock and bring a headlamp. So it's cooler, it's dark, and because of the land that is around it, it's generally wet. And so, in, you know, if you're heading out this time of year when it's been so hot, it's a welcomed relief to go through those tunnels and to just get cooled off and get a little bit wet from the drips coming from the ceiling. So it's fantastic. And, you know, like I said, there's a couple portions of the trail that are closed that will be open for 2022, but we had several million dollars in damage to that trail during the 2018 and 2019 floods. And so we're just in the tail end of fixing those up and replacing multiple bridges, and that trail will be back open 100%.
And, you know, trails that are shorter for those bikers who are little is also really helpful. Do you have any suggestions if you're biking with that 5, 6, 7-year-old who can't go really long distances but still wants that experience of being on a great trail with scenery?
You know, my daughters are 7 and 9, and we've been biking with them for years. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were in the Burleby and then the Tagalong. And one, I would say that, you know, all the linear trails, you can check out the distances between trailheads or milestone points on our webpage. So you can kind of check out how far you want to go. And I would say for me, and the trick that I've used with my kids, pack plenty of water and a lot of snacks. And that seems to really get them to go. You know, mine, even when they were on their own pedal bikes, were doing about 20 miles in a trip, so 10 miles out, 10 miles back, but a picnic and snacks will go a long way. And generally, you know, you'll hit maybe a playground, a neat trailhead with a restroom, or just kind of a scenic vista along your way where it's a great place to stop and hang out and rest for a little bit.
Yeah. So take lots of good breaks and snacks also along the way. I want to head to the northwest corner area of the state with the Gandy Dancer. What do you see there in terms of trails and biking?
You know, the Gandy Dancer is actually spans three counties in Northwest, and it has a variety of uses on it. And the Gandy is just a beautiful way to see, you know, rural America, to see the farm fields and the small towns with the great cafes and bike shops. I love biking on the Gandy. It's a really well-maintained trail. We've got an excellent friends group up there and multiple county cooperators up there that keep that trail amazing. There is a portion, the Douglas County portion is ATV use, and then the Southern Burnett and Polk are non-motorized use. So you can have a variety up there, and it's a great, great biking trail.
How important are friends groups for upkeep of these trails around the state?
You know, especially our trails, you know, it's a combination of our county cooperators and our friends groups. And it's absolutely critical. You know, at one point, you know, they're managing about 25 of the 44 trails between the county cooperators and the friends groups. And so it becomes critical for that resource to be open to the public for the work that they do. And they do vegetative management. They make sure that their restrooms are clean. They grade and compact trail, they hold events on those trails. And so they're critical to folks having that great experience in those linear trails, especially in the northern part of the state.
We have the DNR's Missy Van Landa telling us about state park adventures in all corners of the state. What is your favorite place to visit and recharge in the summer? Do you have vivid memories of visiting state parks each summer? Where did you go? What do you remember from your childhood camping? Are you trying to retrace some steps? Join in. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We'll keep going on state parks in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're appreciating state parks and the public lands that offer so many possibilities for summer. By the numbers, the DNR says state parks, forests, trails, recreation areas, they have more than 20 million visitors a year. Are you planning a family camping trip or a hike with a friend? Still time to talk through your plans, your options, 800-642-1234. We have Missy Van Landit, Recreation Partner Section Chief for the Wisconsin State Park System. She's with us for about 10 more minutes. Missy, let's go urban. Milwaukee has some real gems when it comes to parks and trails. Take us first to Lakeshore State Park in downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, you know, Lakeshore State Park is a great place to kind of get that natural resource oasis in the middle of the city. You know, it's wonderful to be able to view the Lake Michigan, obviously, and there's a great lighthouse that you can see from there. But what I love about Lakeshore is a couple of the really neat hidden gems. There's actually incredible prairies there that change by the day. So from spring through the freeze, you can actually go there every day and see a prairie completely change. Mm. And what's really neat about it is the Milwaukee skyline at night. And so if you get a chance to take a run or a walk through there with your family in the evening and turn around, don't face the lake and check out that skyline all lit up at night. It's a gorgeous property.
There's also the Hank Aaron State Trail in Milwaukee. What are the sites along this trail?
You know, there's Seven Bridges Park. There's a lot of prairies along there. And we're actually, you know, working with the city of Milwaukee and others in Milwaukee County to promote that as an alternative to getting to State Fair this year and in the future. So Hank Aaron Trail runs all the way from downtown out to State Fair Park. So if you're looking for an adventure to get out there, consider taking your bike or walking.
I love it. Okay. And so, you know, as we try to stay maybe closer to home, as we have done in the pandemic, are there any suggestions that might be a park that has just a little less traffic or a little less congestion if we really want to be away from people?
You know, in general, I would say go early in the morning and go later in the afternoon. And for those of us that work for the state park system, we joke that we don't go to Devil's Lake during the summer. But I actually go, you know, at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I will grab my kids after work and we'll take a picnic and have a great time at the beach and hiking. And, you know, so a lot of it is just switching up the time that you go. But, you know, you can find those, you know, points of solitude wherever you want to go. The other thing to keep in mind are our state natural areas and wildlife areas as well. A lot of those or all of those are open to the public, and many of them have hiking trails on them as well. So you can actually go onto our webpage, dnr.wi.gov, and you can search properties within your area, whether that's 20 miles, 50 miles, or 100 miles. It'll give you all the state lands that are open and then what you can do on them.
What about horseback riding? Are there options to take your horse to the parks?
There is, you know, we've got several parks with equestrian trails. That's another thing you can check out on our webpage. And actually, you know, near the Madison area, we've got quite a bit with Governor Dodge, the Southern Unit of the Kettle Moraine, and then the Northern Unit of the Kettle Moraine. And then in West Central, we've got Wildcat State Park, which is adjacent to the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. So there's a lot of equestrian trails across the state with great services. And, you know, the Friends of Governor Dodge, speaking of friends groups and their support, they're in the process right now of building a brand new equestrian campground at Gov Dodge that will be open next year with really excellent pull-through sites, tow lines, and electrical service.
Yeah, what does an equestrian campground entail? Can it, you know, give us a picture?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit more involved than a family campground. It's got a little bit more infrastructure. So generally the sites may be a little bit bigger, but they're actually designated in statute as equestrian use. And so you have to have a horse to be able to be there. At the last minute, if it's not reserved, we can open those up to others. But an equestrian campsite will have more pull through sites for the trailers. They'll have a tow line, which the horses can walk along. Some of them even have barns associated with the campground itself. And there's generally a manure pit because we have to take care of those animals. So other than that, they look pretty much like a family campground with a little bit more infrastructure.
If you're just joining us, we're visiting state parks this summer. Our guide is Missy Van Landit from the state DNR. You can join in. What do you want to know about the parks before you solidify some summer plans? What questions do you have about hiking or mountain biking or where to take your horse? 800-642-1234. So, Missy, Also, on an email here we received from Al. Al says that they've enjoyed all the state parks they visited in recent years, and they believe state parks don't receive any funding off the state tax rolls. Has there been any thought of adding a bit of money for upkeep and expanding state parks off the state taxes?
You know, right now, the state park system, Al's exactly right, is completely self-funded. So it relies completely on your fees of, you know, booking a shelter, your admission passes, camping, concessions, things like that. So, you know, that for there to be tax dollars, that's a legislative action. So if Al's passionate about that, I would encourage him to contact his local legislator. But right now, you know, the state parks are self-funded, and that seems to be working. But, you know, there's always opportunities for folks to talk to their legislators if that's something they're interested in.
Okay, so topic switch here. What are policies on firewood and building a campfire, especially in these times where it is so dry?
Yeah, you know, there's a few things for folks to keep in mind. I would say nearly all of our properties have firewood for sale. So in Wisconsin, you can't transport firewood more than 10 miles from its origin. And so generally, whether it's at the park or right outside of the park, you can find firewood for sale, or you need to be able to bring certified firewood that's been cleared of any bugs or diseases. You can actually source firewood from your campsite or on property as long as the firewood is down. So you can't actually cut a tree. But if you do find like a down log or branches, you can use those on site for your firewood as well.
And what about, are burn bans in place, or are campfires, are you able to have campfires right now because it is so dry?
You know, right now we are able to have campfires, but we do work with our partners in the forestry program who manage our wildfires across the state. And we have, in my 10 years that I've been with the department, there have been a couple of times where we have put bans on campfires due to high fire risk. So that is a conversation that we're continually having with our partners in the forestry program, and we trust their judgment, and it's their call, and we'll go forward with anything that they like. But right now, yes, you can still have campfires. But I would imagine if we continue without this rain, you know, at some point this summer, we may see a ban on campfires.
And last moments we have with you, what about ticks and trying to make sure that we don't get ticks when we're out on the trails and elsewhere at these campsites?
You know, biggest thing is to be prepared and to stay on the trails. Most of the ticks come when you're in tall grass or going off trail, but a lot of people forget about ticks because there's not as many mosquitoes out because we haven't had any rain. So I always, you know, with my kids and myself, you know, wear long pants when you're hiking, tuck your pants into your socks, wear repellent or treat your clothing with permethrin, and just be aware of your body and do tick checks when you are done hiking, and to still bring that repellent. That's important, even if we're not using it for mosquitoes.
Missy, thank you for joining us. Happy trails.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Missy Van Landit, she is Recreation Partnerships Section Chief for the Wisconsin State Park System. That's in the DNR. We have a link, by the way, to the DNR's Out We Go summer program. You can find it at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.